track. Let's close your eyes for a second. Hallelujah. Father God, we just want to give you praise. We want to give you thanksgiving for your word that you have given to us. Incredible. And we want to worship you and bless you. We come this morning with open hearts. We open our minds to receive revelation on about you, about your son Jesus, and instruction on how we live this life for you. We thank you that as we hear, we thank you that it'll be planted, it'll produce, and we'll be doers of the word, and we'll give you all the praise, and we'll give you all the glory for what you're doing in us and through us. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so quiz time. We have been doing a series about heroes. Name one hero that we've covered. Yay! Second one. Noah. Third one. Good. Today we're doing Moses. And I will tell you, next week we're going to do my favorite hero, Jesus. Okay, I thought I better slide that one in there. That's really good. Okay, so we've been talking about heroes in the Bible from Hebrews chapter 11. And very good, y'all remember. By the way, take notes. Take notes. Not because you can draw color. No, take notes because you can go back over it and it just becomes refreshed and planted deep in your life. Also, me. Do you know why I take notes? It's so I pay attention. It keeps me on track. All right. So if you're like a little dyslexic or not dyslexic, ADD or whatever, you know, take notes. But we'll think you're just so wonderful. All right. So take notes. Here we go. So we've been talking about these heroes, and really the heroes had to do about faith. Faith. Everybody say faith. Okay. Now, the reason why we live on this earth, the reason why we are living a Christian life is because at some point in time, it took faith. You used faith. Right? Whoever will believe in their heart, confess with their mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Guess what? It took faith to do that, right? So you've already been operating in faith. It also takes faith to keep living life. Jim used to say it takes faith to live life and faith to die, to go home to be with Jesus. You take faith the day you go. It's the whole life is about faith. So I think we should talk about faith at least once a year. So I've been having fun. I hope you have too. Now, so we've been talking about faith, but I started thinking about all the teachings, all the books that I've heard about faith. The majority of them have to do about what I can get from God. Okay, now say it a little nicer. But how I use my faith to receive things from God. Doesn't that sound better? Right? Most of the teaching that we hear is how I can use my faith to receive things from God. Or how I can use my faith to get things out of my life. Right? Because I got some bad things going on in my life. I want to get rid of them. So most of the teaching is about how I can use my faith to get things and how I can use my faith to get rid of some things. Everybody kind of know what I'm talking about? Okay? Now, you need to know that stuff, though. Amen. You need to know how to use your faith to receive the things from God. And you better learn how to use your faith to get rid of some things, okay? Okay, but we're going to talk about Moses. And Moses is written, he's one of our heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And there's more written in Hebrews chapter 11 about Moses than all the rest of the guys, okay? By about two sentences, I counted, okay? But there was more written about him than anybody else. And what was written about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 is how he used his faith. But how he used his faith was not those two that I gave you. How you can receive from God, he didn't use his faith for that. How you can get rid of things out of your life, he didn't use his faith for that. Do you know what he used his faith for? All right, I'll tell you. All right, he used his faith. It had to do with using his faith to make decisions to serve God. He used his faith, as you read in Hebrews 11, he was using his faith to make choices on how he would live and serve God. That's what, so guess what we're talking about? how to live and serve God. All right. Now, most of those decisions that we're going to talk about that Moses made were decisions on how to make right decisions, right choices in his life with God. Now, how many of you have ever had to make decisions? Just getting here, you had to make a decision, okay? How to make a decision, and how many of you knew that you were making a right decision? And even though it was a hard decision, okay? How many of you have made a decision and later on you said, oh man, that was a bad one? All right. Years ago, we took our kids with us down to Jamaica with our good friends, the Faircloths. Their two kids, my four kids, it was right there. It was an adventure. And so Jack picked a hotel that we were going to stay in. You say this word, and all my kids will fall on the floor laughing. It's called Fleur de Flat. Fleur de Flat. Don't remember what city it's in, but my kids lost it because Jack made a decision that was a bad decision. All because of 20 bucks. He picked a cheap hotel. 20 bucks. So here we pause. Yeah, okay, so, and frugal, that's a nicer word, with our finances. We had to be frugal just to get there. Actually, we were going down there to celebrate our missionaries that we had supported their 20-year anniversary. So we went to that, and then we had a little vacation. So anyway, Jack was going to be $20. We get to Fleur de Flat, and we get in there, and we're ready to climb in bed, and you could have slid off the sheets. It was gross. Because what we found out is, you know, they have washing machines, some of them, or these ladies, these Jamaican ladies, will wash them and hang them out. Well, they forgot to rinse them. So it was just sticky on the sheets. It was so gross. And if you know my friend Bev, she was freaking out. And after a while, I said, I don't give a darn, I'm so tired, I'm going to bed in here. Not Bev. She's like, ah! Okay, and the second the bad choice is we're like, okay, what are we going to feed, six kids, four adults, cheap? And Jack's like, oh, I saw a pizza place. Okay, now listen, we're in Jamaica. So he orders pizza for all of us. And it comes back with pineapple. No, little diced chopped up pineapple and Spam on it. Okay. We never let Jack live it down, and you just say, Fleur de Flats. Anybody want to go to Fleur de Flats? And my kids just lose it. Okay, so sometimes you make decisions, and afterwards, if you didn't figure out it was a bad one, we will tell you it was a bad one, okay? All right, now also, sometimes you make decisions that are good, right decisions, that actually alter your life. Think back. Have you ever had to make a decision that you knew that decision would be altering your life? Okay? Well, I'll tell you a good one most of you have done. The day you accepted Jesus, that was a good decision, right? It altered your life. It altered your kids' life. It alters the people around your life. So that was a good decision, all right? So here we have, getting back to Moses, because I didn't get lost, okay. Here we have this guy Moses, and he uses his faith to make choices, decisions, all right? And these were to serve God, how he was going to sell out to God, and it actually altered his life, amen? All right, now, before I get into a little bit more of the story, I'm going to lay some foundation. I just want to talk a little bit about grace. How many like the subject of grace? You ought to have your hand raised, okay? But turn over to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read two verses, Romans 5. I'm going to talk a little bit about grace. Okay, I finally did it. I got hot. That's it. Okay, phew. Anybody want to borrow my sweater because you're still cold? You can. I was telling somebody, I said, we keep sweatshirts downstairs. I take them home every once in a while and wash them, or you can go into the nursery and borrow a blanket. Okay, but this is a good temperature in here for me. All right. Yeah, right, Pastor D. Okay, y'all at Romans chapter 5, say amen when you get there. Okay, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified, that means being made right with God. Okay, therefore, having been made right with God by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access. Another word for access is entrance, okay? We have entrance, okay, or admission, all right? So through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of our God. Okay, so in other words, what is grace? Grace is everything that Jesus did for you, all right? He made you right with God. He made you fit to come into the presence of God. That's part of grace. And the best part about grace is what Jesus did. It was also free, right? What Jesus did for you, that's okay. So that's everything that he did. Now, the interesting thing is grace is free, but how do you get to it? Grace is free. Everything Jesus did for you is, everybody say free, but you have to access it by faith. It's like your admissions ticket into the movie theater, all right? You only can get it by faith. So, you yes, this is what Jesus has done for you. And so there's a lot of people. Jesus has died on the cross for everybody. But not everybody has accessed it, right? Not everybody has accessed it through faith. So, hallelujah for grace and hallelujah for faith. Now, very interesting is we live in a society now today. I'm telling you, grace to them is an excuse not to change their life. Well, I'm under grace. I can do that. I can do this. I'm under grace. Anybody ever hear people slap that on the last part of a sentence? You know, I remember I was floored. Now, of course, you know, I'm the pastor, so I'm kind of big about going to church, right? You know, I'm worse than your mother. I'm the pastor on that. So I heard this person read this phenomenal book. I actually read the book twice. And he finished reading it and he says, well, I don't have to go to church because I'm under grace. I was like, what page were you reading? That's just on that area. But there's a lot of things that people slap it on. Now, it's interesting. We are not under have to's. We live in the New Testament. It's called grace. Okay. Grace. Okay. So the Old Testament, people say, well, I don't have to tithe. Okay. I don't have to tithe because it's in the Old Testament. Well, you forgot to read the New Testament. It's in there too. And you don't have to do nothing, but you honor God. All right. So that's what it's about. But so it's so interesting. This New Testament, this part over here, 2/3 of it were written by the Apostle Paul, and 2/3, then throw in James and Peter. And you know what? 2/3 of that Bible instructs you on how to live your life for God. It does. And I'm really glad, because I was kind of making it up and doing it wrong for a long time and saying, well, whatever. All right. So we do have a New Testament. And we don't live by the law that you have to. We have a New Testament. But 2/3 of it is going to instruct you on how to do life. Okay? So, grace is not a license to live your life the way you want to. All right? Everybody say amen. Oh, that's good preaching. I love this, Pastor D. Yeah. Okay. Okay, grace is going to empower me to live my life to please God, to live my life to serve him. That's what grace does. Okay, so everybody like grace? Sure, I love grace. All right, now, getting back to Moses. You can open up to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read a couple of scriptures there. Hebrews chapter 11. So the interesting thing about Moses is that he had to use his faith to make choices, decisions on how he was going to serve God and live for God. All right? Now, I'm pretty sure, has anybody ever made a bad decision? You bought the car and found out it was a lemon. Anybody ever do that? Oh, my. I have a friend. Yep. Or you made a bad decision, and later on you thought, man, that was really not good. All right? But listen, what would happen if we actually changed our mentality? We changed the way we started thinking. What would happen if we would do that and we would make every decision by faith? Faith is simply what you believe, but we would make every decision by faith and doing what this says. I would have not done some dumb stuff if I was doing this, okay? So what would happen if we start making, every time we have a decision? Now, I'm not saying about what you're wearing in the morning, okay? Although it might have helped when I tear apart my, ladies know what I mean. You just go through like 17 outfits, they're thrown all over your room. Anybody do that this morning? Okay, but I'm not talking about that, but it might have helped. But then I really, so all my choices, all my decisions should be based on the Bible, what the Bible says. What would have happened in my life? Okay, I think a lot better things sometimes, okay? So everybody knows about Moses. Whether you're a follower of Jesus, everybody knows about Moses because of the movies and the TV. My favorite one is the parting of the Red Sea, and my generation, it was Charlton Heston. Robert, who's the new movie? Who is that guy? What was his name? The new movie that came out. No, Moses. No, I mean, yeah. All right. Okay, well, first off, you can't go by what Hollywood writes. Okay, whether it's Moses or Abraham or Joseph, if you get your facts from them, I remember you guys telling me you went to see, was it Moses or what was it? Exodus. I was like, I'm not losing it. Wait, don't you remember? It was a waste of money. Okay, it was a waste of money. So they went and they said, Robert's first thing is this, man, they messed it up. They got it all wrong. Okay. So let me give you some Bible facts about Moses. All right. Bible facts about Moses. Okay. Number one, Moses did, see, I love doing this sometimes with people. I know more than you know. Okay. Moses did more miracles in the Old Testament than any of the prophets. Write that down. You can use that on Trivia Pursuit or something. Okay. All right. Moses was said to be a great man of God. Well, yeah, duh, Pastor D. Did you read what he did? Yes. Okay. It also says in the Bible, which Moses wrote, but it cracks me up, that Moses was the most humblest man upon the earth. Anybody read that? Oh, yeah. I always crack up when I read it. So, but it's really interesting. Can you imagine doing all the miracles that Moses did and staying humble? That's a real balancing act. I've seen some preachers that didn't do it well, all right? Because it was not God. I mean, it was not Moses. It was God that did them. I have a good friend that we used to support them. They were, Mom, you'd remember them. It's Jeff and Cindy Weber. They were missionaries to Estonia. And now they are missionaries to Singapore, and they are the leads of Rhema Bible Training Center in Singapore. And I've been following his Facebook, and they have had just tremendous miracles. But I love the way Jeff says it. Look what God's been doing. God healed this man. This man had deaf in one ear. God did this. God did this. I was like, I like that guy. You know why? He is humble, and he knows who's doing it. He knows who's doing it, okay? So Moses knew who was doing it, and Moses stayed humble, okay? So getting back to Hebrews 11, I'm not lost. I believe there's some things that we can learn as we look at Hebrews 11, Moses' life. That, matter of fact, I'm going to give you four verses and four words that if you will just apply them in how you walk by faith in making choices, it'll help you. It'll help you. It helped me. Okay, so here we go. Hebrews 11. I'm going to start 23. By faith. Everybody say by faith. Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Okay, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden. Now, that's not one of my four, but I just want to give you a mini thing I was thinking on. You know, his parents, first off, every mama says their baby's beautiful. Now, even if they came out with a cone head. Okay, we were cracking up. Sherry says, Mom, I was not beautiful. Yes, you were. She said, Mom, I had a cone head. No, you were the most beautiful baby. Okay, so my kids pick on each other. It's good, good teasing and stuff like that. So his parents, some of you laughing, the other babies come out. Wah! Okay, so these parents saw this baby and they said it was beautiful. I think they knew more. And every parent looks at their babies and they see greatness. Come on, you see all the things that maybe you couldn't do. You look at that baby and you go, that's my baby's got it. All right. So, but Moses was hidden. And you know, part of the reason I believe he was hidden, this is not the gospel truth, but think about it, is there was greatness in Moses, but like that little popper on a big roaster chicken, you know what I'm talking about? That little plastic thing. It wasn't ready to pop. It wasn't ready to pop, and Moses had to go through some things. Some things he did, he picked himself, okay? I'm pretty sure some of the stuff that wasn't God's first plan, okay? But he was hidden until the right time. All right, that's not my message, but I just thought some of you are sitting around and you might be frustrated. Listen, the things in you, they're hidden for a season, and don't worry. I know, I'm speaking it. I see it, greatness in you, and so does God. All right, so that was my first one, but let's go to the next verse. Verse 24, by faith, everybody say by faith. Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And 27, say by faith. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Alrighty. Okay, I'm going to give you four verses, verses 24, 25, 26, 27, and we're going to go over four words. And I believe these four words will help you on how you live your life for God, right? How you live for God. Now, this is New Testament. I know this isn't the law, all right? This is New Testament stuff. And the same stuff that Moses had to do, we have to do in how we live our life. You're going to watch this and you go, yep, I got to do the exact same thing. So if you're taking notes, let's look at verse 20. What am I doing here? 24. Thank you. And I missed a page. Let's go back here. 24. All righty. Let me say this before we get there. So Moses had to make some decisions on his lifestyle, right? His lifestyle, all righty? Now, I want to talk about me. So funny. Before I met Jesus, I was the best heathen. I did not live for God. I never even thought about him, except for I go to church, and then I go to confessional, and then I come back. But that lasted. I was like, phew, all right? But before I asked Jesus to come into my life, before I decided to be a follower of Jesus, I just didn't even think about it. I didn't think about God, all right? I, hands down, was not living for him. But now, I bet you all expect me to live differently now than I did then. You said, yeah, Pastor. Okay. Now, hopefully you don't expect me to live differently now than the way I did back then, the heathen, because I'm a pastor. Thank you. Hopefully, because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to live a different way. Because it's almost 40 years ago, someone introduced me to Jesus, and it radically changed my life, that I would want to love him, serve him, follow him, all right? Anybody ever do that? Yeah. Okay. So, and it was interesting. From that moment on, I had to start making some choices. Will I serve? Will I follow the Lord Jesus? Will I do it His way? Or will I just continue to live my beautiful, it felt like fun for a moment, heathen life? All right? Heathen. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? But listen, you're not walking with God. You're lost. You're called the heathen. All right? So I was a heathen. Yeah. All right. So we're going to do the four words. Here we go. That was like, get you ready. Number one, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused. Write that down. Moses refused. Write it down. Moses refused. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Number one, Moses refused. Okay. You didn't know this. Once you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you are going to have to refuse some stuff. Right? You're going to have to refuse some stuff. You might have to refuse some stuff you used to do. You might have to refuse to hang out with some people that you used to hang, because it's not good. All right? You might have to refuse to stop saying, I have an anger problem, and blow up and kick the dog and F-bomb it all over the place. You might have to stop and refuse to do that. Okay? Now, everybody say refuse. Write that down, okay? Now, in the other church, somewhere down the street, they used to have this lady, I'm going to call her Miss Patty Perfect. Miss Patty Perfect thought she was perfect. And somebody invited somebody who was not a follower of Jesus to church. And guess who they sat next to? Miss Patty Perfect. And Miss Patty Perfect right away goes, man, that smells like pot. And the reason why she knows, you can fill in the blanks, okay? That's not what you're talking about. Okay. But listen, somebody invited this pot smoker to church because they told him everybody's welcome here at that church over there. Okay, over here too. That's one of our core values. Everybody's welcome. All right? So, during worship, Miss Patty Perfect gives a death grip on this person's arm and says, I need to speak to you out in the hall for a minute. Would you come out with me? Okay? So Miss Patty Perfect drags him out to the hall, and she says, you smell like pot. Yeah. But what you don't know about Miss Patty Perfect, she is like the queen gossiper in the church. And she gossips about everybody. And everybody's not as perfect as her. She just would love them all to be like her. All right? But she goes and grabs the one person who's not a Christian and says, you know, you're smoking pot. You're going to go to hell. All right? And now the interesting thing is, Miss Patty Perfect, you don't know your Bible. Because what's the only thing that will bring you to hell? It's not smoking pot. It's rejecting Jesus. That's it. Miss Patty Perfect. Okay? So, now, the Bible has a lot to say about gossip, especially in Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs 16 or 19. I forgot. I didn't write it down. But it says, there are, six things the Lord hates, and the seventh is an abomination to the Lord. You know what the seventh one is? Gossip, murmuring, and causing division with the brethren. Miss Patty Perfect. That's the worst, okay? Not smoking pot. It was so interesting. Getting high wasn't the worst to the Lord. Okay. So you know what we used to do in churches? We used to judge sin. I came out of denominational, and they have words for those judgment levels, okay? And so I just thought everybody does it, okay? We would judge sin. Ooh, pot smoker. Ooh, bad. Prostitute. Oh, bad. And then we're okay with, I gossip. I lied to my husband and I said, I bought that dress and it was only $15 and it was $100, okay? But we're okay with that stuff. I used to do that. But I will have you know that Jack used to put hunting boots under the bed and I'd find them and he goes, oh, yeah. Okay. So we're okay with our sins. I do this. But you can't do that. Alrighty? Now, Let me just clarify. God loves everybody. God is love. God loves everybody. God is accepting everybody. But you know what? Everybody, especially Christians, we're at different levels. Listen, that when I got saved in 1975, okay, it took me a year to get a Bible. Okay, you probably couldn't tell, except for I knew something happened on the inside. All right. So we're different levels. And maybe you've been walking with the Lord and your life is just going to different levels. But the one thing, listen, we are not to judge. Okay? We're not to judge. Alrighty. Matter of fact, we're supposed to love. And you know what love does? You start loving, it reels them in. It reels them in, and they get to a place where, one, you can talk to them, or two, they're watching you and going, I didn't know that. Yeah, okay. I did. I really did know. I knew pot with smoking was not right, okay? So, by the way, do you know right now, everybody look this way, look that way, look around, turn around, look at the people in here. Guess what? We got a lot of imperfect people in this church. Yep. And I'm one of them. All right. Church is full of imperfect people. But here's how Christianity works. Okay. This is how it works. All righty. Now, grace empowers me so that by faith, I can choose to live the life God wants me to live. Okay. Grace empowers me that by faith, I will make right decisions to live the life that God, I mean, God's got a good life for me to live. And I don't have to smoke pot to enjoy it either. Okay. Besides, if you eat, drink, you smoke that stuff, you just want to eat. And gee whiz, that's just bad. All right. So, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. So, I was thinking about that. By faith, Moses refused. All right. Do you know what it meant to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh? Probably most likely, okay, just stretch it a little bit. Guess who might have been the next in line to be Pharaoh? Moses. All right. And I got news. If you're royalty, you kind of have a comfy life, right? He refused that stuff and probably a whole bunch more. So Moses refused. Everybody say refused. All right. I believe there are things in our life that maybe today we need to start making some choices to refuse. If I did this message this week, I was sitting there thinking, yep. Okay. How about this? Now we usually think of the negative, but how about this? How about you refuse to be what someone says about you? They're saying you're like this, you're like this. How about you refuse to listen to what people say about you? All right. How about you refuse when someone says you'll never amount to anything? How about you refuse that? How about you refuse when your body is hurting and you refuse? No, I'm not going to listen to my body. I am going to refuse it and say what God says about me, my body. OK. And when you refuse, then what you need to do is accept what Jesus has done for you. OK. And the life he has for you. All right. So that was number one. Number two, if you're taking notes, verse 25, here we go. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Okay, choosing. Moses had to, everybody say choose. Moses had to choose, all right? Now, every day, I said this before, you have to make choices, right? Some good choices, some bad choices, such as, I just got my big income tax return. Whoa! And should I choose to pay my mortgage, pay my car loan, or get that big flat screen TV with the la, 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 la. All right? So you have to make choices, all right? And sometimes we make bad choices. Sometimes I just would, you know, I would look at my kids and they'd make bad choices and I finally would just say, well, they're going to learn. And hopefully they wake up and they say, that was a bad choice. I'm not going to do that one again. And I've watched my own life and my famous quote is, I go to bed at night and I go, I'm a day older and a little smarter. And I'm a faith for my kids that if they made a bad choice that they're going to wake up tomorrow and say, I'm not going to do that one again. Okay, so there's some stuff you have to choose. that you're going to have to choose, and you say, I don't want to do that anymore. You have to choose that. And listen, I don't want to know what you have to choose. That's between you and God. Okay? Just keep it to yourself. But it will take faith. Everybody say faith, to make some choices, to choose. All right? It takes faith to choose. And praise God, we've got faith inside of us and we can choose. So sometimes, I was thinking about this, sometimes the choices we have to make are very unpopular. It is, everybody else is doing it. I have a list where I listen to people say, well, Pastor D, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. So sometimes it's not popular to make some of your choices. Right? Okay. Sometimes it's easy to make a choice just to veg in front of TV and ignore your wife who's been home with the kids all day long. Sometimes it's easy to make that choice. Sometimes it's easy to just go for a divorce and not work on it. Sometimes it's easy to do that. Sometimes the choices that are easy are the wrong choices. And anybody have made some wrong choices? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So, but by faith, we can choose because we have grace that will empower us to make the right choice. All right. Now, if you want to write this down, my friend Pastor Mike wrote this at a seminar I was at, and I thought, oh, I'm going to use this someday. So I was like, this is the day. It says, you will never change until you admit. You will never change until you admit the reason why you're in this place today is by wrong choices, wrong decisions that you made yesterday. My friend Pastor Mike wrote that, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's it. You are never going to change the way you're living today until you admit that you made a wrong choice. All right? Otherwise, you're just going to keep on doing. So it takes a change, admitting, and then going forward. Okay? Maybe you've got yourself in debt. And you're just going to keep in that lifestyle of getting deeper and deeper until you admit, I got myself in this mess. Okay? And then I'm going to choose to make a change. Okay? So you have to choose to make a change. I was hanging out with somebody, and we had to purchase something. And she says, well, I don't have credit cards anymore. I said, really? I have two or three of them. She goes, nope, got myself in trouble. She had to admit, I got myself in trouble, and I chose, okay, to make change so that tomorrow will be different. And I was like, go for it, girl. That's great, all right? So now, the only thing that keeps you from admitting and making a change is your pride. Yep. The only thing that keeps you from admitting that you made a bad choice is your pride. And you know, we don't want to be people that are so prideful, okay? So when your spouse says, you know, you've had this intense 5 years, and your spouse says, hey, honey, we should get some marriage counseling. And she's beaming. And you go, I'm not getting no marriage counseling. What, are you kidding me? And then your wife, because, you know, we're good planners and we're going to figure this out. And then she says, hey, honey, I got this really good book. You should read it. Everything you should know about your wife. Okay? Well, is that the one it was? Everything you ought to know about your wife. And there's one, everything you ought to know about your husband. And you go, I'm not reading that. I only read the Bible. I don't have to listen to what somebody else said. Okay? But, you know, maybe you have to start making some good choices so that things will change in your life. All right? So you have to make right choices to have change in your life. Okay, number three, if you're taking notes, here we go. Verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Okay, esteeming, that means to place a high value or regard. So Moses was esteeming. Number three, Moses was esteeming. He placed a high regard or a high value. Okay, so what did he value? He valued something greater than the pleasures of the moment. Esteeming. Okay, can I tell you something? God always has something greater for your kids, for your marriage, for your life. He always has stuff greater. And you know, I'll say something now. One of my favorite things I'll look at you and I say, hey, I see greatness in you. And you're all going, listen, I do, because God always does. And I see you like God. God has greatness in you, okay? So, but if you're willing to make the change, maybe you can have greater greatness in the way your kids are. Greatness in your marriage. Greatness in your finances. How about greater greatness in your job, all right? Now, if you're willing to change, God will make it greater. That's because that's God's nature, all righty? Now, let's just suppose you can't stand your job. You can't stand your boss. But how about if you make a change, I am not going to complain no more. I am not complaining about my boss, about the stupid people. Oh, excuse me. I am not complaining about the people I work with, all right? How about you make a change not to say those things? And then you let God, by faith, you let God make it greater. Or he gets you out of there. Cindy got out of there. Oh, man, you want to hear. Matter of fact, Cindy had this job. She did a lot of complaining in the beginning. But I worked her over. And she finally got her attitude. Can I tell your story here? Yeah. And God gave her such a greater job. Got her out of this place. Incredible job. I think she walked around in a daze for like 3 months. I can't believe this new job I had. They want to pay me how much money that my boss is so nice. Okay. But she's had a start, and I was on her case. Yeah, I was on her case. You have to stop complaining, all right? So, okay. How about by faith and grace, God will empower you to work as unto the Lord? I am going to work as unto the Lord today. I can't wait to get to my job. Man, that's by faith. All right, but you start saying that, God will make it greater. Okay, last one. Everybody say, yay, last one. Number four, verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Did I say that? Who is invisible? All right. Number four, he forsook. Forsake? What do you say? Forsake? He forsook or he forsake? All right, do you know what that means? Abandoned. Moses abandoned. He forsook some things, all right? Now, such as you might have to forsake, abandon, if you're dating somebody and it is causing you to go backwards in your life, you might just have to forsake them, all right? Now, not your spouse if you're dating, okay? All right? How about you might have to forsake the way you live your life, right? forsake. All right. I have a real good one. Let me write it down here. Forsake. Backward. Okay. Missed my pages here. Okay. If you're supposed to abandon some things, man, they're really hard to do. But wait a minute. I've got the grace of God that will help me forsake those things. It will empower me so I can do it. And actually sometimes I can say, I can't do it. God, I can't do it. But I thank you. You can empower me and you can be the strength in my life so I can do it. And I can't not tell you how many times I would go, I can't do this, but God, you can. God, I do not have the wisdom, but thank you. You have the wisdom and you will empower me to do this. God, thank you for your strength. Thank you for your patience. You empower me to do it. All right. So, how many of you want to love God? All right? I'm pretty sure nobody comes to church because they hate God, right? You're not here because you hate God. You're here because you love God. And I'm pretty sure you love God and you want to serve God and you want to honor God, right? Okay? Now, my heart's desire is you take this grace and this faith thing and you make changes. All right? So that you can love Him. Serve Him, and then greatness starts being poured out on your life. All righty? That's my heart desire. Okay, one more scripture. Turn over to Titus. Oh, I'm doing great today. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 2. Chapter 2, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, who's writing this. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Paul is writing to a pastor. So, you know, I read this one a lot. He's writing to a pastor, and the pastor's name is Titus. That wasn't hard to figure out, all right? And you know what he's writing to him about? Well, first off, he says, hey, Titus, this is the Apostle Paul. I want you to get some things in order. I kind of left in a mess. I had to get out of town quick. And I want you to start speaking and teaching to the older men, the older women, the younger men, the younger women. I want you to start teaching them what right living is. Okay? And how it goes along with being a Christ follower. Hey, Titus, I want you to start teaching sound doctrine on how to live a Christian life. All right, so as a pastor, I read this, but you know what? As a follower of Christ, you ought to read Titus. All right? So verses 1 through 8, that's kind of what it does. We're going to jump down to verse 9. It says, teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, trying to please them, not to talk back. Let's put 10 in there. And not to steal from them, but show that they can be fully trusted so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. So what he's saying here is we don't talk about slaves. Hey, slave, you need to not talk back. We're really talking about employees. Anybody an employee? Okay, anybody the employer? Don't raise your hand. Okay, no. Okay, so he's really talking about employees. And he says, you need to obey, submit to your boss. Right? In every way. Okay, so that means when you go into the break room, if you're a follower and you're following the way God wants you to, and you go into the break room, you're not going, oh, I just can't stand my boss and the stupid policies. And you're a follower of Christ and you go and do that and you let your mouth go off. All right. Those are not the things that a follower does. And he's telling us, employees, you should not be doing this. And then he says later on, he says, and if you live the life like a follower of Christ and you let this grace help you because you've got a company that's just off the chart, if you let me empower you, you are going to be visible of who Jesus is. All right. Now, let me tell you a story that happened at the gym. So I was at Planet Fitness and I was with my friend, Bonnie. It's Nevin's mom. And she's in the thing that her daughter's getting married. So she's like, I got to work out. And I said, oh, I remember that. My girls worked out. I mean, my girls got married and I was working out. So I said, I'll be your accountability partner. Okay. So I am just cracking up while we're doing stuff. Because, you know, occasionally I look at the seat that I get off of and it's sweat. You know, I was like, yay, I got some sweat on there. Because, you know, we're just talking and having a good time. So, and I'm cracking up and laughing. And I really just had just joy in my life. I have joy in my life. This is the greatest life I get to live. And I just was just beaming that day. And this man walks up to me. Don't go thinking this stuff, okay? And he goes, excuse me, you're just smiling the whole time here. And I just go for it. I was just telling, you know, telling him, I said, well, it's not because, you know, we are the workout queens, you know, look. And I said, you know, hey, and I started having this conversation with this guy. And then later on, I said, okay, Bonnie, let's get going. And she goes, Dee, are you coming back tomorrow? I said, I don't know. Well, come on, Dee, we should come back tomorrow. I go, so we leave that day, and Bonnie goes, Dee, that guy was hitting on you. I go, what? Gross. She goes, Dee. Okay, now that was the funny part. But it was interesting. You know what? Because I was thinking, and I know it, so get your head in the game here. My life was attractive because I was smiling. Okay, even when I'm going, and then we just start pushing. Okay, I just go in life with, and I believe God will change your countenance. You get enough of that God anointing bubbling out of you, you look different. You look different, all right? So that's my funny story for the day. You can either be attractive, and listen, if you're an employee and you're always late, and you don't have no excellence and work ethics, do you think you are attractive to the lost, your boss? Okay? The lost, the other employees? You need to be attractive. Be attractive, okay? And it'll take the grace of God and faith to do it. And some of you go, oh, yeah, you know, you should see where I work, Pastor D. Well, all right. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. Let me read verse 11 here. For the grace empowers us to live the life that God has for us. For the grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Does your Bible say something like that? Ungodliness and worldly passions, all right? And to live a self-controlled life. To live, this is what it does. It helps you live a self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. So don't go telling me you can't. This tells me you can. Through God's grace. And you tap into that by faith. You tap into that by faith. Alrighty? Alright. So, what choices do you have to make in your life to make some change in your life? What are some of the choices? How about, do you have to make some choices to change, to refuse, to esteem? All right. So how about we close our eyes and say, oh, yeah, Pastor D, this is such an uplifting message. But close your eyes. Let's pray. All righty. Father, your word is truth. And you love us so much that you give us your word. You give us our truth. It's like this big light that shines when I'm doing things that are not the best you've planned out for me. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has brought life and it's brought light in how we live and live and shine and have greatness in our life. I thank you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, into our lives. We welcome you to be our helper, our standby, and you empower us and you strengthen us so that we can live this attractive life, this great life, so that many may see a living Jesus in me. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. I don't think that was a Mother's Day message, but what the heck? It's probably what mothers say anyway. Hey, I love you guys. God, I see greatness. God has greatness in you. And you guys are attractive. And sometimes you just say, hey, God, I thank you. You empower me to do this life. All right. So you be blessed. Have a wonderful day. Amen. And the music. Okay. And the music. Here we go.